Another edition of the National Intel Report. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller. It's official. I'll be doing this until the 5th of August as John recuperates and manages the network. And we all wish him the best. John Stadmiller, that is. And it's August 5th is the date that I'm doing this. And then we'll decide what we're going to do after that. Very interesting broadcast tonight, very tragic broadcast tonight. We've had some more additions on the website. Worker Communist Party of Iraq, the Iraqi Communist Party is at the top, the very, very top. Underneath the Communist Party USA, and the statement by the U.S. Code that there's a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States in the U.S. Code. And then the community communism, including communitarianism, is here. But the big point tonight, or this afternoon on the website, is the global conspiracy to depopulate the planet. And people, it is called National Security Study Memorandum 200, dated April of 1974. This is very, very important for you to research. It's just amazing. They talk about world demographic trends, population and world food supplies, minerals and fuel, economic development and population growth, implications for population pressures for national security. They talk about lots of things in here. It's a very extensive report, dated 1974, engineered by Henry Kissinger. And they talk about action to create conditions for fertility decline, population and a development assistance strategy, a general strategy and resource allocations for aid assistance, reducing infant and child mortality, expanding wage employment opportunities, especially for women, developing alternatives to the Social Security role provided by children to aging parents. It is very, very important to understand what this is all about, people. It's about managing families, manipulating families, destroying families, when you understand the big picture in place, when you understand Agenda 21. When you realize that we have these situations in Agenda 21, Section 3, Strengthening the Role of Major Groups, in Chapter 25, Children and Youth in Sustainable Development. We have a couple of guests today. Amanda, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, Amanda. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Good. And do we have, okay, well, we'll get the other guest up. Stay with us, my friends. We'll be back to continue with this broadcast. Very, very important. Get your listeners and your neighbors to tune in.
You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadmiller.
And welcome back to the beginning of the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John. Certainly, this day is the day that John Ainsworth and Ed Waller come on the broadcast, and especially John Ainsworth. And I'm very familiar with John Ainsworth. I believe he's part of Tiger. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. He has excellent information. And so he'll be on next Thursday. This is a communication problem that I had with John regarding the fact that he has a regular guest on Thursday, as I set this up last night. So that John Ainsworth will be back next Thursday. I'm looking forward to that for sure. We're having trouble finding your mother with the phone problem, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amanda Donahue here, listeners with us. Amanda Donahue, and she has a trying tale to tell us, and it's not really a tale. It's a tragedy that's happening with her and her family. And I want you to pay attention to this. We will open up the phone lines as we get through this, and we'll just see what your read on all this is. But as I told you before, National Security Study Memorandum 200 from 1974 needs your attention. And Agenda 21, Chapter 25, Children and Youth in Sustainable Development. You need to study those, not necessarily right now, but as you have time after this is done here with Amanda. Now, Amanda, let's kind of begin at the beginning about you and your husband getting together and having a family, and then all of a sudden somebody snitched on you. Is that what happened?
Yes. Supposedly it was somebody that I worked with. I'm not really sure of the reasons. There was a lot of talk going around at work, but I'm not really sure. But someone called the FACTS on us, which is the Department of Family and Children's Services, also known as CPS, which is Child Protective Service. And that's when my life just pretty much ended, I guess, if you could say that.
Now, you were working at a convenience store at a gas station, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And this is all very, very important, the fact that somebody was upset with you in some mannerism and called and said you were what?
Well, the allegations to begin with were that we were using drugs heavily in the house. There was domestic violence, child abuse, just, you know, anything that they could pretty much, you know, point on us at that point. They came in, you know, there was, the house was a little messy, but they could not prove domestic violence or drug, you know, abuse to children, any of that stuff. But, you know, they don't really need a reason. They don't need proof of anything, but they just come in and do what they're going to do.
They came into your house?
They came into my house. It was the caseworkers and two investigators. They were from the Narcotics Task Force.
Were you in your house at the time?
No, I was out. My car broke down, and I was out trying to fix it, and my husband was there with my boys.
Your husband was there in the house?
Uh-huh.
Did they knock?
Well, when they pulled up, he was outside. He had stepped out for a moment. And when they pulled up, they asked to see the boys. Well, he walked into the house, you know, to get my sons, to bring them outside. And the caseworkers and the investigators just pretty much barged right past him into our house with, you know, no court order, no warrant, no anything.
Uh-huh. Just, they came on a statement of hearsay from someone else.
Yes, that's basically all it was. It was just an allegation, just a phone call. All they have to do is just make phone calls nowadays.
Right. Okay, then what happened?
Well, they told me that because my house was a little bit on the messy side, I had been working, you know, a lot of hours, they said that my sons were in danger, and which they weren't. So they took my sons from me and placed them with my mother. And they said that we had, you know, 10 days to clean the house, and then we'd get our sons back. We have this in writing. Well, 10 days came, and then they threw another allegation on us that my husband was beating me, and based on some other report they got, and at that time they told us that my sons could not return home with me, and on the 24th of August is when the state took my sons into custody.
What was your husband beating you?
No. No, and there was no proof of this. It was just, you know, somebody's word.
Were you yelling at each other? Could neighbors overhear an argument?
No, the only neighbors we had was our best friends that lived next door, and no, we rarely yelled like that, you know, but I mean, it was just an allegation, you know, from work. Somebody had overheard that we'd had a little argument, and I guess it just exploded into something, you know, terrible. They made something out of it that wasn't.
I see, and so what happened next?
Well,
you lost your children on the 24th of August of last year?
Uh-huh.
Your two sons?
My two sons.
What are the age of your sons? What are their ages?
Well, now my oldest one's 3 and a half, and my middle son is 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a newborn son as well who's also in...
Let's leave that alone for now. Okay. Let's just bring that up in a moment or two.
Okay.
The two sons you have right now, you lost them in August. And what about their conditions, their living conditions, and your ability to visit them? Tell us about that.
Well, I get to see them for 2 hours a week, just one day a week.
Oh, jeez.
And they're being abused, but the system is choosing to ignore that fact. I mean, even though there was no proof of us abusing them, they just came in and took them from me. But I've got pictures. I've got all kinds of, you know, proof that my sons are being abused. My oldest one, he's, you know, had black eyes and cuts, and they don't want to explain what it is. But when I reported it to DFAC, they simply just kind of brushed it off and wouldn't investigate it until like 2 weeks later, in which they went into the home of a foster family and said everything's okay because their house was clean. They didn't even look at the pictures that I gave them or anything.
The foster parents that are taking care of your children?
Uh-huh.
Do you know who they are? Have you met them?
I met them at a hearing that we had. It was supposed to be a permanency hearing.
A permanency hearing?
That's where they decide if the children can come home or not. After 6 months working a case plan, they'll do, you know, like a placement hearing, it's also called, where they, you know, they go over your case and review it to see if you can bring your children home. And they told us that we were not able to bring our children home at the time.
Hmm. What did the people look like that were taking care of your children? Did they look like trustworthy people?
They seem to be. They have two other foster children as well. They seem to be, but when I first met them, they pretty much just came down on me and attacked me for every little thing, you know, accusing me of being a bad mother, and, you know, they don't even know me, but, you know, they're going by what they've heard, apparently. So, I mean, I don't know what I could say about them. Somebody's abusing my children, and defects where they're supposed to be protecting my sons, they're not.
Who directs the directions where your children are going to be cared for? How is that done? And what is the reasoning behind giving those two people your children? What credentials do they have to make it beneficial for the children to be there?
Well, to be a foster parent, you have to go through, you know, classes. You have to take parenting classes, which we had to take also. You have to go through drug testing, then a criminal background check, and that's physical, like to go to a doctor and get tested for different things, and that's basically all you have to do. So, I mean, I'm not really sure how, if they're really qualified to be foster parents or not. They meet their criteria, I guess.
Okay, now, so your two sons are with this one particular family. How many times have you seen them since August as far as these foster parents with your children?
We see them. The foster parents don't actually bring them. There's another person that brings them for the visits.
And this person is from the Department of Family and Children Services in Georgia?
Well, the person that brings them, they're actually from another company that's contracted out through DFAC.
A company?
Uh-huh. It's like they're like a family resource center.
What is the name of the company?
It's Morningstar.
Morningstar. Oh, isn't that amazing? Morningstar. I see. Holy mackerel. Okay. And so it's a private group or a private company that brings your children to you.
Uh-huh.
And you get to see them once a week for 2 hours.
Once a week for 2 hours.
And what do you do for that time? With the two children, what do you do? You have someone from Morningstar watching you with your children?
Yes, they sit and they observe and they take notes.
They take notes?
Yes, she's given us good notes so far, you know, from what I know. But they're required to take notes on the parents' interaction with the children, how they handle behavior problems and such.
Hmm.
And we usually will go to the park, you know, for the kids to play, and we'll, you know, just spend as much time with them as we can out there, so.
Hmm. Okay. And now tell us about the fact that you lost your two children in August, and did you just accidentally become pregnant again, or did you just try to become pregnant again?
Well, it was one of those things that happens, you know, but I mean, I didn't regret it. I mean, I knew that it could cause problems, that this could happen again. But, you know, I was really happy, you know, because I thought, well, I'd be a mom again, you know, I'd have another chance at this.
So you just delivered when?
A week ago.
You delivered your third baby a week ago. Was it a son or a daughter?
It was another boy.
Okay, so you have a third son delivered last week, and tell us what happened.
Well, I had him at 1:30 on Thursday. 3 or 4 hours after I had him, the caseworkers from my county, two of them came into my hospital room and told me that they would have to take custody of my newborn son.
Okay, now keep your thoughts in place. We're going to commercial pause. We'll be taking calls soon, listeners. I want you to pay very much attention to Amanda and this direction and think about how many other families in this country are confronted with this situation that's going on today. We'll be right back with the broadcast. With the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner for John Stadmiller today and for the next 3 weeks as he continues to recuperate and manage the network. We're with Amanda Donahue. She lost her two children by, once again, the Department of Family and Children's Services by an anonymous person claiming something upon her. And here comes Child Protective Services, go through the house without a warrant, decide the house is too messy for the children to live in, and take the two children. They've been gone since August, and then you just gave birth last week. Continue, Amanda.
Okay. About 3 or 4 hours after I had my son, two caseworkers came in and said that they would have to take custody of my newborn son. You know, I got pretty upset because, you know, I felt like, you know, this was wrong. I mean,
sure.
They already had two of my kids. You know, why would they need to come and take another one when there was no reason for it? I had just given birth to this child. Well, they told me, spend as much time with him as you can. He will be picked up before, you know, when he's released from the hospital. So basically, I would never leave the hospital with my son. Well, Friday night at about 10:30, they came in and took, the nurse came in and said he needed to take my son down to the nursery to check his vitals. Well, they never came back. So I called to ask, you know, where is my child at? And that's when they told me that DFACS had called and told them to not allow my son to come back into the room with me, and I was nursing him at the time. They would not even let me in the nursery to feed my son. And I found out the next day, a nurse told me that, and they had no idea what DFACS worker had called them. They didn't know anything except that, you know, they just got this call saying not to let my son with me. They told me the next day that they took him because I was a threat to myself and to my child. And I really don't know where they got that from. You know, I was resting on my hospital bed, you know. I don't see how I could have been a threat to anybody.
You've never fought with anyone?
I'm sorry?
You've never fought with anyone in the past, your co-workers? You've never created any kind of animosity towards a co-worker or anything like this to bring this about?
No. No, I mean, nothing more than just simple arguments. I mean, I'm not a fighter, and I don't go around causing problems or trying to fight with anybody. It was just, I think that it was just something that they used to obtain a court order that they said they had, but they never showed it to me.
Now, you're a firm believer against vaccination, correct?
I am.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to your two sons?
We went to court in October, I think it was, and which they told us it wouldn't be an issue, the fact that we decided not to get our sons vaccinated based on my religious beliefs and the fact that, you know, we didn't believe that it was safe to have these vaccines after all the research that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And so... We went to court, and the judge told us that we had so many days to come back with, you know, evidence supporting our statements, you know. So we went, my sister helped me. We got probably about 700 pages of documents on the dangers of vaccines, you know, what they can do. We filled out and we had it signed and notarized a religious exemption form on vaccines. Totally legal. You know, I had it checked with my lawyer. It was, you know, it was good. So we took it in and the judge basically tossed it out and said, you know, that because I could not give her a Bible verse that told we are not supposed to vaccinate our kids, that she found that there was insufficient evidence of our religious beliefs, and after kicking me out of the courtroom for crying for my sons and making fun of me and humiliating me, that's when she ruled that my sons were to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And they have suffered because of it.
And you sent me one email. And in this email is the information about who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got pictures of your son with marks on his face.
Yes. The one, he has the black eye and the scrape on his face.
Yeah.
I questioned, what happened to my son? You know, he looked horrible. And they said that the two-year-old hit him with a toy. Well, me being a little more persistent, the next week I asked again, what happened to my son? These marks are still here. They changed the story then and said he fell and it was carpet burn. But I've never seen a child get carpet burn, you know, like black eyes and scrapes. No, that's not carpet burn. And I don't buy that for a second.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're obviously covering up for these people. There's something going on and nobody wants to investigate. They just want to, you know, make us out to be the criminals, like we have committed, you know, some horrible, inexcusable crime. But, you know, and we've done nothing.
Uh-huh. And as far as the Department of Family and Children's Services, you have people that can be contacted?
Yes. I think I put it in the email.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. So when we get back, we'll talk about the new child that was just delivered last week, and we'll talk about vaccinating him. Listeners, I hope your blood is boiling a little bit. If not, you really don't really care about our country and our family, the family unit that is being destroyed. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. Certainly this is one circumstance, one family. How many families out there are in this situation? That is the question we all have to ask ourselves. Now, your third born child that was born last week, you delivered last week. Tell us more about that circumstance, and was he vaccinated?
Well, they brought in the papers. You know, they always give them, like, the hepatitis B shot and the vitamin K shot and all those. And they brought in the forms for me, you know, the permission slips, I guess, for me to have him get these vaccines. Well, I told them that I did not want him getting the hepatitis B shot, you know, because I just don't believe in that. I don't believe that a newborn baby needs a hepatitis B shot. And they, you know, they fussed at me and argued with me for a while over it, but I finally, you know, I wasn't going to give in. So at this point, the only shots that I think that he has had is the vitamin K, the PKU, I think is what it's called. And I think those are the only ones that he's had for now. I haven't heard anything else out of that. So I'm going to get, you know, work on getting the religious exemption form filled out for him as well, just in case they, you know, bring it up.
So do you know if he's had any shots at all?
Just the vitamin K shot and the PKU.
What is vitamin K?
Vitamin K shot is a shot that they give them when they're born. It's supposed to help with their blood. Keep it from, like, if they get injured or whatever, to keep them from bleeding to death. I'm not really sure. how, you know, I don't know much about that one, except that they said it helps the baby's blood clot when they're born.
So,
and before we move on, I do have those numbers for the DFACS office. If you wanted, I went on ahead and pulled those up. If you would like any of those numbers, I could give them out.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, for the one that took my two older boys is the Lamar County DFACS, and their number is 770-358-5170, and their fax is 770-358-5169.
repeat those two numbers again.
Okay, let me...
The first one, 770-358-5170.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and this is the Lamar County?
Lamar County DFACS.
And you're in Georgia?
Uh-huh.
And this is the Department of Family and Children's Services?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the fax number?
770-358-5169.
Okay, one more time.
The phone, the regular line is 770-358-5170, and the fax number is 770-358-5169.
Okay, now, who is the caseworker that we need to talk to about this?
Well, the caseworker over there, her name is Jennifer. That's the one that took over our case and started working our case. Well, she was supposed to be working with us, but she's really, she hasn't done anything for us. I mean, when her, I guess, idea of helping us out was just telling us that, well, if you don't do these things, you're never going to get your kids back. But she has not helped us anything. In fact, the county that I'm living in now has taken over, pretty much taken over, to try to help us meet our case plan goals and everything that we need to do. They're even offering to pay for all of the therapy that Lamar County is supposed to be paying since it's a Lamar County case.
Now, what are the things that you were supposed to cooperate with in order to get your children back?
The first case plan that they wrote out stated that we had to go and take parenting classes, which we did complete within a couple of months. It's about a six-week course. We had to go and get psych evaluation, which when we had our the panel review or the you know the six-month review in January, the results from the psych evaluations had just come in like a week before that, where they had stated that we needed that I needed to take individual psychotherapy and drug education class, and that my husband had to take, we both had to take weekly couple therapy for 6 to 8 months. And he had to go to, I don't even know what they call it, but it's the class where they try to convince you that it's okay to be on psychotropic drugs.
Did they, have you been drug tested before?
We were drug tested from the start, and mine, unfortunately, I had a positive result on one of my tests, which I tried to explain to them the circumstances that led up to that, but since that,
Now we're talking about marijuana?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was such a small amount that it took about 2 weeks to get the results back because they had to send it off because it was such a small amount. And we have been clean ever since then. There's been no positive screenings. In fact, the judge over here in this county has pretty much dismissed the whole drug abuse allegations altogether. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. But the, you know, it's still on our record, unfortunately.
Okay, so you've been drug tested on a regular basis since then?
Uh-huh. They were only required to test us for 6 months, which began in, you know, at the end of, I think it was August 20th. Well, after 6 months, they're still coming to my house and harassing me, at which I told them, you said it's in my case plan 6 consecutive months, I'm not doing it anymore. Well, that caused a lot of problems, and they said, well, you are going to do it. And I said, no, I'm not. And I have not given them any more tests since then because, you know, if I've got to comply with the case plan, then they should have to comply with it as well. And if they said 6 months, that's all I'm doing.
Now, this is all interesting. In the meantime, you're still seeing your children once a week for 2 hours?
I see my two older boys. I have not seen my newborn since Saturday morning.
And do you know where he is?
He's somewhere in this county that I'm living in now, but I don't know anything about the foster parents. I don't know where they're at or anything. And they were supposed to set up some visitations, which they haven't as of yet. And I keep calling them, but I'm unable to get in touch with any of my caseworkers, so I'm going to just keep bugging them until they finally let me know something.
Would Jennifer know where your child is, your newborn?
He probably wouldn't, considering that it's a different county and it's a different DFACS office. She knows where my other two are. And I've tried to have my two older boys, since this all happened, I've tried to have them, you know, placed with a relative, which we are in the process of getting that achieved. But, you know, that's not going to fix the problems with my sons that this has caused, you know, the torment that they have had to go through, the abuse, you know, and they have done nothing. They are great children. No child deserves to go through this. No family deserves to go through this.
Now, who is Melinda Roscoe?
Melody.
I'm sorry, Melody Roscoe.
That's my sister. She was the one that got the ball rolling for me in the beginning. I was kind of lost, and she got on the internet right after all this happened and started doing research on the law, the deprivation law, because that's what they pinned us with. And she's pretty much my researcher. She helps me out, you know, doing, you know, getting information that I need and all that. And she was the one that originally got everything, you know, started for me, getting my story out and everything, getting it published online for the first time. And she's been a great help to me.
How far away is she from you?
She's about 12 miles. Her and my parents live on the same land and all. They all kind of live together out that way, but they don't live too far away from me.
Does Melody have children?
Yes. She actually gave birth to her third child as well 2 weeks before I had mine.
But she hasn't been harassed like you have.
No. She stays at home, and she doesn't, you know, her problems stay within her family. You know, she's not out there. Nobody knows what goes on with her, if she had any problems, you know. But, you know, you got to be careful who you talk to, what you say to people, you know, and that's the biggest thing that I'm learning from all this.
What do you think the reasoning behind all this happened to get you into this situation? What do you think the reasoning behind it is?
Well, spiritually, I would have to say it's different spiritually. I think that this happened, you know, to be an eye-opening for me, because before all this happened, I didn't think that it could happen to us. You know, we were a good, loving family. We took care of our children, and we didn't have anything to worry about. You know, we had to ask for assistance with the government as far as the food stamps and Medicaid goes, you know, and that was one of our biggest mistakes. But I'm not really sure, you know.
You say it was a big mistake because you couldn't afford to support your family, and so you had to get the food stamps and benefits from the government. Is that it?
That's right. And I think that they used that as a means to, you know, basically buy in on your family. You know, they find out you don't have this much money. You don't have everything that you should have. And I think they used that go in and break up families, you know, because I had a pretty good job.
Okay, now listen, let's do this. You've given a little background on this. We have callers. Let's see if maybe they have some thoughts and some questions. Let's take John in New York. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry to hear for your problems. I don't know if you know about the Idaho Observer. It's www.idaho-observer.com. But they have a lot of information on vaccinations being bad for you. And also, I've run into trouble with the social services on my children. I had one that was anorexic, and it was a boy. And I'm not sure why he did what he did, but we had a counselor tell us that he would actually have to go to where he finally was, you know, really pulled the limit, and then he'd finally change his mind and start eating again, and he'd actually have a disorder the rest of his life. But in the interim of that, you know, they labeled my wife and I as endangering our child because the doctor said they want to intervene and feed him and whatnot. And it became a battle of, number one, we believe that, you know, in-house is inviolate of God's laws. I mean, what happens there is because God put you in those situations is why you are living that partly, and that's the family's business. And I also feel that way for the country. The country has its own laws, and we shouldn't be in other countries. But in the interim of that, we fought it by fighting truth, pointing out facts that the social workers were uneducated, their morals were really corrupt. I had one girl that actually could see her underwear where they're standing up with a skirt on. I mean, she was a big, heavy girl and didn't have any morals whatsoever about how she dressed and carried herself and their logic. And then also the in our county, we had a couple lucky things happen. The head guy for the shrink for the county got caught sexually abusing one of his patients that when he was supposedly helping. And, you know, there were some things that happened to help us that way. But also, we just stuck to we did what was right. We stuck to the truth. We were good parents. We were following up with all the advice that we were given from the person we felt comfortable with that we felt was on the mark about what was wrong with our child. And because we didn't agree with another doctor, it was a problem, and it created a lot of hardship. And when it got said and done, it made us a tighter family. You know, adversity builds character. Mm. And so hopefully that's going to work for you also. But as you have already known, you've taken money from the state, and the state is saying, well, now you're out of balance, so we're in control of you because you're taking money from us. And they're orchestrating this force. They want to orchestrate mandated drugs. They want to – that's there's another book out there. There's a I want to give it to you because it's Life from Plants to Animals to Us by Donald Scott. And if you call the Power Hour, they can get that for you. But it tells how they're actually putting drugs out there in the air and making drugs that poison us for population control. And vaccines are part of that source.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. The number to call is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. That's the number to call in, 800-313-9443. Let's take Rita in Texas. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, how are you doing?
Fine.
I was going to be sympathetic to your caller's story until I heard that she admitted to having come up dirty with marijuana. I'm an individual that many years ago I used to work for a private company that actually went into the homes to do parenting, and I think one of the things that is contributing to a lot of this is the criminalization of controlled substances, marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and all these other substances. But right now, this is my viewpoint about many of the young that are taking drugs. Bottom line. It's outlawed. Anyone who decides, knowing full well that drugs are outlawed, voluntarily place themselves in a criminal environment, period. And I don't have any sympathy for any individual who is a parent that would act so irresponsibly and so selfishly as to go ahead knowing full well that drugs are illegal and then commit or engage themselves in criminal associations. There are children that are in some of these homes, sir, wherein there's sexual abuse. There is really total neglect. I also understand that, you know, they got relief from the government. Okay, that's fine. But, you know, years ago, my husband and I used to live in New Jersey. And let me let you know something. You know, there are a bunch of fathers that are really, really fed up having to raise their kids with the leftovers of taxes because they're having to pay for the taxes for the bums that are not working, that are coming up with all kinds of excuses, these men that are having children left and right that are not supporting them. I firmly believe there needs to be more men thrown in jail who have these children and will not financially support them. So as far as, you know, this situation of this young lady having her children taken away, you know, once I heard she voluntarily decided to get into the criminal element, because you have to become a criminal in order to engage in that kind of situation, no, I don't have any pity for her. I really don't. You know, I grew up as a youngster.
Let me ask you now. Hold on a minute. Do you think the way they came into her house was a legitimate way to do that?
Sir, No. And see, when I'm listening to you, see, I am fairly convinced. I took a look at your website. I am fairly convinced, sir, the United States of America is already a communist nation. But different names are being used so that the people don't understand we are a communist nation already.
I agree.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And so all I can see is, and see, the other thing that is also keeping the people from getting free, I mean, it will eventually get to a point where there is going to be armed insurrection. You are not dealing with good faith people in government. You are dealing with organized crime. You are dealing with individuals under the guise of Christianity saying, peace, peace. You know, basically, with this country, unless the people start really getting into the, and I'm a Christian, and in the Bible, it says in there, you know, Matthew, in time of crisis, sell your cloak and purchase a sword.
Okay, I appreciate your call. Thank you, Rita. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm filling in for John Stadmiller for the next 3 weeks, starting Monday. I'm Chris Sterner. We're with Amanda Donahue, and your children are with the Morningstar people, the Morningstar Baptist Treatment Services. Is it Trutlin House?
I just know about Morningstar, and that's actually just an organization that transports, you know, in, children and gives off family therapy and different types of services to families. But I would like to, if you would allow me just a moment, to comment on that last call, because I think there's something that I need to clear up that people just don't understand.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
And when we go into the second hour, we'll continue. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm not a drug user. I did not make it, a habit of mine to sit around and do drugs. My children were never tested positive. I wouldn't, you know. These things that happened, it happened at work. I'm not trying to justify what I did, but the fact that I was around all these people, I was around a lot worse drugs. But when I realized, you know, that I had made a mistake, I said, you know, I'm getting away from this lifestyle altogether because this is not the kind of lifestyle that I want for me, my family, or my children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God says, you know, to not judge, but he also says, you know, that we should judge righteously. And when you judge somebody like this, you need to look at their, you know, their lifestyle. Have they repented? Yes, I've repented, and I have turned my back on those old ways, and I don't think that, you know, for anybody to condemn me for that, that cannot justify taking my children away from me, because there really is no law in the book where if a parent tests positive for it, that they have a right to just come in and take your children, because if the children are not exposed to it, you know, the children are in no immediate danger. But do not use drugs. That was just one of those little things that happened at work, and I decided to get away from it. And I think that anybody who has been through a similar thing, they don't need people constantly throwing rocks at them.
Now, you've been tested regularly since that time, correct?
Yes, and I have not had positive screening since. I quit my job for that reason, because my boss was a drug addict, and she was constantly pressuring me to try different drugs that I just would not do.
Was this at the convenience store you were working at?
Yes, it was.
And do you think she might have put pressure on once again the Department of Family and Children Services? Do you think she was the one that reported you?
I think I know who reported me, but I do believe she had a lot to do with it.
And why do you think she would have reported you for not doing drugs?
I'm not really sure, unless she just thought. I mean, when I went to pick up my final paycheck, she made the statement to me that my children were better off in foster care than with me and my husband.
And what would give her the foundation for making a statement like that?
I really don't know. I mean, other than the fact that I told her that, you know, me and my husband had been having some problems and I needed some time off from work because she was overworking me. I never got to see my kids. I was hardly ever at home. My husband was just, you know, he needed some time off, too. And the fact, you know, that, you know, the last caller was, you know, saying that, you know, that fathers are not working and all. Where I was living at, the jobs were really scarce. And I had a job. I had a pretty good job.
We'll be back to continue with this, listeners. And certainly jobs are going below the border and overseas for the last 20 years and certainly for the last 10 years under NAFTA. It continues to happen. Less and less jobs. It's not that easy to find a job today for many people that have skilled craftsmanship in their blood. We'll continue with the broadcast into the second hour. The number to call, once again, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443.